Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 10. Paul, having set out his apostolic credentials, laying down the marker for this letter, indeed for the rest of the New Testament really in his name, that what he is writing as apostolic has to be obeyed, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Having set out the glorious doctrine that Christ, according to the will of our God and Father, has given himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, to whom therefore God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, of course, to be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul immediately plunges into his purpose in writing this letter. Clearly he is burning. His heart is in tumult. You can feel the passion in his words. He just breaks out without any preliminaries into this little section here. I am astonished, he says. Now, I think that's probably a little gentle, a bit refined. I can hear him saying, in our modern terminology, I'm staggered, I'm just amazed. I can't believe my ears. I just can't take it in. I'm astonished. What about that you believers in the Galatian churches are deserting Christ? You are deserting Christ by turning to a different gospel. And I'm staggered because this has happened so quickly. Now, of course, this is important because, as I've said, this letter is very early. The earliest writing in this section of Scripture. And it seems that this apostasy, this defection, as Paul says, has come so quickly. The believers had been attacked and infiltrated by false teachers. We shall go into all this as we go through the letter. And Paul knew that what they were offering the Galatians were receiving. And he knew that this defection was taking them away from the gospel, taking them away from Christ. You are deserting the one who called you. God himself, by his Spirit, called you by the grace of Christ. You're deserting, you're leaving. Your apostasy is obvious. I'm staggered. And you're turning to a different gospel. And he's absolutely blunt here. This gospel that you're receiving, this gospel which they're offering to you, is no gospel at all. Now, if you do not know what is to come, you might try to imagine, speculate. I wonder what it could be that would take these people away from Christ, and what made the apostles so heated and so strong. And this is not the end of the strength of his remarks here, as we shall see. What was it? Well, my friend, it's something that's still being offered to the churches. I don't want to anticipate too much, but what he is being offered here to the Galatian churches, that the teaching is that, well, all this teaching about the gospel and about Jesus Christ is very good. Of course, nobody disagrees with that. But you must come under the law as believers. You must come under the law of Moses. Unless you come under the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. You find this in Acts 15. You find it throughout this letter. You find it elsewhere in the New Testament. These Judaizers, I'll call them that, these legal teachers, these lawmongers, were saying we must come under the law. Believers must come under the law for sanctification. Not for justification, perhaps, although I think in Galatia they would even go in this far. But to be fully saved, to be saved, you have to come under the law. Well, that's being offered to us today. The medieval church taught this through Thomas Aquinas. Calvin took it on He's had it into his system, his institutes, and it's dominated the Reformed and Evangelical world ever since, even to this very day. It's amazing, is it not? Paul says to the Galatians, if you go down this route, the ultimate end is a different gospel and leaving Christ altogether. Now, I'm not an apostle, so I'm hesitant here. But I will say this to the law teachers. You're playing the game of the Judaizers. You have to live with this text. You have to live with this doctrine. Paul preaches Jesus Christ and nothing but Jesus Christ. That is the gospel to him. Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ risen again. Jesus Christ praying for us. Jesus Christ coming back again. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sum and substance and total end. Christ is all, Colossians 3, for this man. And he will have nothing to come in between Christ and the sinner, between Christ and the believer. Whether it's assurance, liberty, glory, justification, sanctification, whatever it is, this man has one subject, one doctrine. Christ, that is the gospel. Evidently, he says to these Galatians, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So I say again, the law teachers, they're in danger, to put it no stronger, of joining themselves with these Judaizers and perverting the gospel of Christ. And Paul does something now which we need to hear. He says something now which we need to hear. He says it to the Corinthian church later as well. It seems to be an endemic problem in the churches in these days and in our day today. What is that? We look to men. Ah, well, Dr. So-and-so says it. Professor So-and-so says it. He's got a very big church. Pastor So-and-so says it. He writes all these books. He's sold these bestsellers. He must be. And we listen to him. Now listen to Paul. But even if we, an apostle, and you correct Peter in chapter 2, as you will see, but even if we, an apostle, that is, or an angel from heaven, or any doctor of any seminary, or any pastor of any megachurch, or any author of any book which has sold a million or more copies, if any of us should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to, the apostolic gospel, now listen to Paul's words, let him be eternally condemned. Now you can't raise the stakes any higher than that. And just in case we don't get the point, verse 9, as we have already said, and I just said it in the last breath, so now I say again in this breath, if anybody, listen, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, in other words, what we delivered to, the apostolic gospel, let him be eternally condemned. So I say to the lawmongers, you have to live with this text. Get rid of your law teaching. Come back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I say to those modern teachers who are telling us, and it's been going on for the past 25, 30 years, whatever, it's coming thicker and fast now, that we should accommodate ourselves to the world. We should not tell them the difficult bits of the message. We should hold back on the confrontational points. We should be user-friendly and that sort of thing. We should get them into our churches and then try to evangelize them and somehow bring them into some kind of experience. What do I say? You're perverting the gospel of Christ. That's not apostolic. There's only one place we go. We don't go to Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so or Mr. Who is it or Pastor whatever it is. We don't go there. We go to Jesus Christ in the apostles. There is no other gospel. If Paul didn't do it, we don't do it. If Peter, James and John didn't do it, we don't do it. We don't invent methods or go to the world to find their methods. We go to Paul, James, John. Jesus said, my apostles will be given the Spirit. He promises them, I will give you my Spirit, he says, and he will lead you into all truth. That's not only the principles of the gospel, it's the way of preaching the gospel. It's the method of religion. The churches of Jesus Christ are not meant to be pools in which we fish. They're meant to be devoted bodies of Christ, shining as beacons, as lighthouses in a fallen, dark, ruined world. Oh, these are searching words. These are strong words. This apostle is staggered. I'm amazed you've gone so quickly to these people. Listen, if you go there, it's doom. I say to these teachers who are perverting the gospel of Christ, either with the law or seeker-friendly methods, whatever it might be called, I tell you, it's eternal condemnation for those who are listening to that kind of teaching. If they go down that route and go to the law for salvation, if they go to worldly pleasure and hope that somehow brings them to Christ, you have to live with what Paul is saying here, my friend. The consequences for these poor sinners are terrible. The consequences for saints are grim indeed. Misery and wretchedness on the one hand and pleasure on the other. It's spirituality we want. I am amazed, says Paul. Ah, but Paul, if you go down this route, you won't be popular, you know. You won't be asked to preach. You won't be liked. People won't buy your books. They won't listen to you. They won't download your sermons on the web, you know. They won't. What does Paul say? Am I trying to win the approval of men? Or of God? I have to answer to God, he says. And so do I, my friend. And believer, so do you. And unbeliever, so do you. We all have to answer to God. Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I am hoping to write on this subject of the modern man-pleaser way of reaching sinners and drawing numbers into the church. And I'm very seriously thinking of making this my epigraph. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. How that runs counter to this pleasure-seeking, accommodation-seeking teaching we are receiving today. What do I mean? Well, we have to please men. We have to help men with their debts, with their housing, with their food, with all the rest of it. We go walking with them. We play music with them. We go on, we do activities with them. We play tennis with them and golf with them. And somehow we hope they come into the church and they're there and we give them lectures and we coach them in the way and we hope somehow they become assimilated to Christ. I say that's pleasing men. Jesus wouldn't do it. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Paul wouldn't do it. Look at him here. He's not trying to please men. That's why he says that. Am I now trying to please men? He knows what he's saying. He knows people won't like it. He didn't set out every morning when he got up, how can I please men? How can I attract more numbers? What he thought was, how shall I please God? How do I answer to a God? As I speak this discourse, and I'm coming to the close of it now, I'm very conscious that I've said some serious things. But have I gone far enough, my friend? I'm not an apostle. I don't know as I have the power or the right to say precisely as he does here. But I'm not going to water it down. God knows those who are his. But I will say this, if we pervert the gospel of Christ, if I do it, or you do it, my friend, or Pastor so-and-so, or Doctor so-and-so, or Mr. this, or highfalutin that, whatever it might be, however high they've gone, if any man, any woman, any angel should pervert the gospel of Christ by adding law to it, or pleasure to it, or detracting from Christ and the gospel, they're perverting the gospel of Christ, and eternal condemnation is on the road. Believer, let us do all we can to please God and to raise the banner of truth, God's truth, the banner of his gospel, the banner of Jesus Christ, wherever we can. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. Of course that's true. So long as we have the master praises, we can say, what are men? Put not your trust in princes. to the law and to the testimony was the old covenant. What does Paul say? Come back to the gospel. The apostolic gospel, my gospel, laid out in scripture. Don't go to this guru, that teacher, that professor. Come to me in the word. For according to Christ, the apostles have been led into all truth. And this is the final truth. This is the truth. If you've never come to Christ, my friend, learn from these words. If the defection from Christ, the moving away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by him. If there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, if believers are so strongly dealt with, and for teachers to be so strongly dealt with, if there's any defection from Christ, what would it be for you who've never trusted Jesus? We know the scriptures say, if judgment, and it does, begins at the house of God, you will see it here. What shall be the end for those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? Don't dally, don't tamper, don't tinker, don't procrastinate. Bow the knee to Jesus now. Repent of your sin. Call to him for mercy and forgiveness. Ask him to save you. And bow the knee to him in his word, in his gospel. And every believer, may we dread to hear these words said to us, I am astonished that you are moving away from Christ, moving away from the gospel, buying into false teaching, carnal teaching. And may this be our motto and our driving force, trying to win the approval of men, not at all. Trying to please men? Not at all. I want to be a servant of Christ. And therefore I want to have the approval of God.